Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, we've all heard the line that change is the only constant in life. And if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's taught us that. Right? All of us have experienced so many changes since last March. And honestly, we don't like it. We don't like having to keep our distance from loved ones. We don't like not being able to travel and go places. We don't like not being able to get together in person for worship. But this is our new normal now. And after about a year of it, it kind of feels normal in a weird sort of way. We might not like it, but this is the way things are. We don't like change. Well, actually, that's not true. We don't like change that we don't agree with. If change happens to us and we agree with it, then we're fine. For example, let's say that you were told your life would change because you were the person in Michigan who won the $1 billion Mega Millions drawing last Friday night. Yes, somebody won it. If that were you, I bet you'd be okay with that change. It's a big change, but I don't think you'd give the money back. So it's not that we're against change, we're just against change that we don't like. We're also against change that we have no control over. Or to put it in a positive, if you can control the change, then you're fine with it. Like, you can choose to change out of your PJs and get into daytime clothes in the morning. Or given pandemic life, I've heard that some people now have their nighttime PJs and their daytime PJs. So changing from one pair of PJs into another is fine, because you get to decide that. You might even be in your PJs right now. This is Jammies with the Lammies, right? So it's wrong to say that we don't like change. We don't like when things don't go our way. We don't like being left out of the decision-making process. We don't like it when life is out of our control, which is why we don't like this pandemic. Right, last spring, this is not how we thought our life was going to go. Nobody asked us if this is what we wanted, and clearly we had no say in this. And some people have tried to regain control by still getting together in groups or not wearing their masks, but come on, this is bigger than us. We can't pretend this is not real. This is a change that has been forced upon us, even if we don't like it. And perhaps that's also like following Jesus. Right? Yes, all of us know that we're supposed to follow Jesus. Right? That's what Christians do. We follow him. But maybe we don't really want to follow him. Right? Maybe the call to follow Jesus is like this pandemic. It's happened to us. It affects our lives, but maybe we don't really want it. Now, why would I say that? Well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Lutheran theologian from Germany in the time of World War II, wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, "When Christ bids us come and follow, he bids us to come and die." Death is a big change. And I don't know many of us who voluntarily want to die. Right? We like being alive. For the most part, we like how our lives are going. Right? Pandemic aside, We still have our family members and our friends and our hobbies. So why would we want to give all that up? Why would we want to die? Well, let's look at the gospel reading for today a little closer to find out. All right, here we've got this famous scene of Jesus calling the fishermen to follow him. And this scene is also when Jesus says his first line in the Gospel of Mark. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. That sounds like a line that was taken out of the script for John the Baptist. And then, as if to illustrate this call to repent and believe, Jesus calls some fishermen to follow him. And quite often, we focus on this scene by the Sea of Galilee instead of the call to repent. But the two parts go together, as we'll see here in a minute. When Jesus calls these fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they literally drop everything to follow him. Right? We hear that Simon and Andrew left their nets on the ground, and James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think we have mixed reactions to this scene. Right? I know I do. On the one hand, we admire these guys and their faith in Jesus. I mean, these were some of the first of the 12 disciples. These guys are famous for following Jesus. So we know that we should follow their example and do what they did. But on the other hand, it also sounds really irresponsible here. Right? Think about it. These guys were not out just doing some recreational fishing here. This wasn't a weekend on the lake or some father-son bonding time in the boat. No, this was their family business. This was their livelihood. This is what people in the community were counting on them to do. And they just dropped it to follow Jesus. Think of it this way. Imagine if some random guy comes up to you when you're at work, calls you to follow him, and then you just drop everything and go. You don't finish those reports. You cancel all your appointments. You tell the people who rely on you that you're out the door. You leave all your projects half finished, abandon your responsibilities, and assume that somebody else will pick up your pieces. That doesn't sound like discipleship. That sounds like being foolish and irresponsible. That sounds like a bad change. So because of that, what these fishermen did sounds kind of weird to me. But then again, maybe the text tells us why they did it. Go back to the beginning part about repentance. Remember, I said we often focus on this call scene instead of the message to repent, but the two are connected. Repentance simply means making new choices. It means moving from an old way of living into a new way of living. Quite simply, it means making a change. A change in mind and a change in behavior. Well, the thing is, sometimes we don't want to change. Sometimes we don't want to leave the old way behind. We like the old way. I mean, think about all of those, how many people of this particular group does it take to change a light bulb jokes? The old way is comfortable and familiar. It's within our control. And it seems foolish and irresponsible to change it. But sometimes the change still happens. Consider it this way. Jesus has already given us new life in baptism. But the old self within us, that sinful side of us, still wants to do its own thing. It still wants to be in control. It still wants to have some say in how things happen. This is why we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. This is why we need to hear that word of forgiveness over and over again, to remind us that Jesus is still faithful even when we are not. But there's also the repentance part. Right? In other words, it's one thing to confess and say you're sorry, but it's another thing to repent and change the way you're living. Right? We're called not just to confession, but to repentance too. We're called to actually drop our old way of life and follow Jesus into this new way of life. So when Jesus called these fishermen, he was calling them into a new way of life. A way of life that he called the kingdom of God. And at first, the fact that these fishermen dropped everything to follow sounds foolish and irresponsible to us. But consider the movement of the scene, instead of getting caught up on the details. These guys are saying that life with Jesus is more important than life without him. Jesus has chosen them to be the ones through whom he will change the world. Did you hear that? These guys didn't choose Jesus. Jesus chose them. In the same way, Jesus chooses you. Right? Maybe you don't think you have the qualifications or the experience or the knowledge to help people grow in faith. Maybe you're scared of what this new life would look like. Maybe you know that discipleship is hard and you don't really want that. All right, besides, if you follow Jesus, then people might talk about you behind your back or say nasty things about you online. You will suffer. You will die. Things will not always go your way. But this new life in Jesus, this kingdom of God, this life where you sacrifice your preferences and desires and control for the sake of others, that is truly living. And it's a life you cannot give yourself. It's a life only Jesus gives us. So on the one hand, we have no control over the fact that Jesus has called us. That's happened to us, like this pandemic. On the other hand, we do have a choice in how to respond to it. Will we hoard our toilet paper and hunker down and try to wait it out? Will we pretend that this doesn't apply to us and keep doing our own thing? Will we listen to that old self that wants to stay focused on our personal agendas? Or will we drop our selfishness like nets on the shore and reach out to others, knowing that they are in the same boat we're in? Will we put the needs of others before ourselves? That's what repentance really looks like. So it might seem foolish and irresponsible to follow Jesus, but that's the life of faith for you. Why in the world would anyone do this? Well, we do it because Jesus is at work in us through the Holy Spirit. Yes, it looks silly, but that's okay. Plus, the silliest news of all is also the best news of all. This one who calls us to follow him also defeated death and left the tomb empty. And that's a change that I think all of us are okay with. So in the name of the one who calls us to drop our selfishness and follow him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.